Our last speaker on the topic of superior canal dehiscence this morning is Dr. Rahul Mehta. He's also the recipient of this year's Nicholas Torok Vestibular Award. He will be talking on the subjective and objective findings in patients with true dehiscence versus thin bone over the superior canal.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Rahul. First of all, I would like to thank ANS for giving me an opportunity to present a very simple study that's titled Subjective and Objective Findings in Patients with Dehiscence versus Thin Bone over Superior Semicircular Canal. I do not have any relevant disclosures. So, since its first description by Minor et al. In 1998, the superior semicircular canal dehiscence and the spectrum of vestibular and auditory symptoms it causes has been extensively studied in literature. There have been temporal bone studies, there have been studies demonstrating intraoperative findings that have confirmed the presence of superior semicircular canal dehiscence. But these studies, not only they have described complete dehiscence, they've described another entity as well. That is patients, those who had thin bone over superior semicircular canal. But unfortunately, in literature, there are very few studies that have compared these two groups of patients. So with that background in our mind, our main objective of the study was to differentiate these two groups. One, the patients, those who had true dehiscence. Second, those who had just thin bone over superior semicircular canal. Using subjective and objective measures. The subjective measures that we used was dizziness handicap inventory. Objective measure was pure tone audiometry, electrocochleography, infrared video for tuleo, fistula and vibration, cervical vestibular myogenic potential, and calorex on VNG. So it was a retrospective review of all the patients from 2007 to 2013 who had true dehiscence or thin bone on CT scan. And all the scans had 0.625 millimeter oblique reconstructions using a parallel in a parallel and orthogonal to the plane of superior semicircular canal. And all the scans were read by two senior neuroradiologists. So the data was collected. And we recorded patient demographics, CT findings, total DHI score, airborne gap average across 250 to 4,000 hertz, SP-AP ratio on ECOG, tuleo vibration fistula presence or absence on IRV, CVM threshold, and calorex reduced vestibular response. And we divided our patients, as I said, into two groups. First group was those who had complete dehiscence, and the second group we call thin, once those who had thin bone over superior semicircular canal. The first section, subsection of the study, we described and compared our main outcome measures, that is the results or the values of all the subjective and objective tests, and we used t-tests to calculate the statistical significance. In the second subsection of our study, we examined the relationship between these objective and subjective measures across and within the dehiscence and thin groups using Pearson product moment correlation. So what did we find? We found that we had 54 patients at 64 years, out of which 47 years had dehiscence, 17 had thin bone. Average age in dehiscence was dehiscence group was 56, and average age in thin group was 59. There were 51% females in dehiscence group and 53% females in thin group. Looking at our objective test results, first of all, pure tone audiometry showed that the mean airborne gap for the dehiscence group was around 8, which was more than the mean ABG for the thin group. And calculating the difference, we found that the difference was statistically significant. As you can see, the p-value was less than 0.05. Looking at CVAMP, the mean for dehiscence group was around 70, and for thin was 81. Again, this difference was statistically significant. Coming to ECOG, ECOG showed that the mean ECOG for dehiscence group was 0.39 as compared to mean ECOG in the thin group, that was 0.38. And you can see the p-value here is more than 0.05, so there was no statistically significant difference in ECOG in between these two groups. And same for reduced vascular response as well, there was no statistically significant difference. Looking at IRV results, Tullio, fistula, and vibration showed that Tullio in Dacen group was positive in 26% of patients, 25% in thin. Fistula test was positive in 21% of Dacen. None of the thin patients had fistula test positive. Vibration, positive in 55%, and in thin, 42%. But although there was a little bit of difference in findings between Dacen and thin in this test, but there was no statistically significant difference that we could find. Finally, the subjective test, that's DHI, the mean DHI in the Dacen group was 30. It was around 30. And for the thin group, it was 23. But there was no statistically significant difference in this as well. And then the second subsection that I talked about, the second subsection of the study, we calculated the correlation between DHI and the audiovestibular results. So the DHI in the Dacen group did not have any correlation with either of these objective tests. And the same thing applied for the thin groups as well. So there was no correlation for DHI in all the objective tests. And when we calculated correlations for all the patients across the groups, again, there was no correlation found. So the limitations of study, it's a retrospective study, and just like any other retrospective study, it has same problems. And as you must have seen, our sample size was small. We did not have a large sample size that would give a large power to the results. We did not have OWEMs available, so we just used CWEMs. And an important thing was we did not have intraoperative confirmation for all our patients because we did not have that many operative patients. So what did we conclude? So we concluded that out of all the objective tests, pure tone audiometry and CWIMP helped us in differentiating our two groups. And the patients with the Dacen, unlike thin group, had airborne gap and they had low cervical WIMP threshold. And from the second subsection, we concluded that DHI in our patients did not help us distinguishing between these two groups. And there was no correlation found between the subjective and the objective tests within and across groups. So finally, I think what I would say that we do need a lot further research into this because saying that the DHI is not useful for this would need much powerful study with a large sample size and also coming up with a validated symptom score that is useful specifically for superior semicircular canal Dacen would be useful. I think probably coming with a larger number of patients in a multi-institutional study would be a good idea. Thank you very much.
I'd like to congratulate you on the Toric Award. And with the plaque, you get a $1,500 check. Try to avoid the casino on the way out.
No. This is for my 3-year-old son, so thank you very much.